name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes what happens is that people have to fall into the lowest abyss in order to wake up. People oftentimes have to fall into a sinful way of life in order to realize how wretched, how filthy, how fleeting, how horrible the sinful way of life is, how it amounts to nothing, and how it gives birth to bitterness. As St. John of the Ladder teaches us in his book, his God-inspired book called The Ladder, in his chapter on purity, concerning two people, he says there is one person who was more prone to purity, to chastity, and there was another person who was not very chaste, not pure, had certain proclivities, but he became chaste through the struggle, through prayer, through vigil, through fasting, thus obtaining heavenly gifts, laying aside earthly care, and taking upon himself the yoke, the good yoke of our Lord, the yoke of chastity, casting off like a snake the skin of impurity. And he says, of course, the one who struggled to obtain chastity was the one who had obtained greater crowns, was the one who was more honored in the sight of the Lord. We know from the parable of the 10 virgins that virginity is not enough for salvation, for there were 5 virgins who did not enter into the bridal chamber. And oftentimes in our society we talk about morality, someone who's a moral person, someone who's an ethical person, but the Church has its own vocabulary. And quite frankly, in the hymnology of the Church, we don't really hear these words. But we do hear concerning purity, concerning purification, concerning the process where one becomes pure. We're now in this blessed period of Great Lent, where the services are constantly reminding us of our sinfulness. In the services, we tell ourselves how we have fallen, and the hymnographers try to bring us up by this means. A few weeks ago, we celebrated the Sunday of Orthodoxy, the first week of Great Lent, the first Sunday of Great Lent, wherein we celebrated the triumph of the Orthodox faith, stressing the importance of Orthodoxy, right belief, for right glorification, for right worship. We had the example of St. Gregory Palamas. And St. Gregory Palamas, who was so enlightened, who had received such grace and such illumination and such purification, continually said, "O Lord, enlighten my darkness." And this is precisely the reason why he received illumination, because he understood that, as St. John, the theologian, says in his God-inspired gospel, for Jesus knew what was in man. And St. Gregory Palamas had come to understand what was inside himself. He understood that the process of purification is a complicated one, but it's also very easy. Simple repetition, simple prayer, simple calling, simply calling upon the name of the Lord in order for the Lord to purify us, because by no other means can a person be purified. And when we talk about morality and an ethical way of life, perhaps there is some type of a self-righteousness to it, but it is not so in the vocabulary of the Church. We say the Church has its own vocabulary because we developed the phronema, the mindset of Christ. And we are speaking a totally different language than the language of the world. This is why it is difficult sometimes for scholars to translate the Holy Fathers if they do not have that grace, that illumination to understand what the Holy Fathers were talking about. As monastics, year after year we hear the same texts, but year after year the texts should make more sense to us because we are growing in our Lord. We are moving from glory to glory. We should be growing as human beings. And things that didn't make sense to us years ago should make sense to us now. That is because we should be on that process of purification. And as we said, some people need to fall into the lowest abyss, as our example today, St. Mary of Egypt. She didn't specify anything to St. Zosimas concerning her immoral and unchaste way of life. But she did say that every type of unnatural sin I committed, Holy Father, I abused human nature. And she made her confession to St. Zosimas. According to the monastic typikon of our monastery, we read the life in its entirety a few days ago when we chanted the canon of repentance, the great canon of St. Andrew of Crete. We heard the details of the life of St. Mary of Egypt. She was one who had lived a depraved life, and our Lord caught her. In her depravity, she found some young men who seemed attractive, and she followed them on a boat, not really caring where the boat was going. But the boat had a certain destination. The destination was Jerusalem, where they were to worship the life-giving cross for the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. And she went, and she committed her sinful deeds, both on the boat and in the holy city. And she decided that she was going to follow the people to the point where they were going into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And at the very door, at the very portals of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, something forced her back and did not permit her to enter. That was her wake-up call. Unfortunately, many people have wake-up calls. A lot of people ignore the wake-up calls. She responded right away. And her conscience was pricked. And she looked up and saw the icon of the Mother of God. Seeing the icon of the Mother of God connected her to the Mother of God, as it can connect us to the Mother of God when we behold her holy icon, and as we can connect to all the saints when we behold their holy icons. And she confessed before the Holy Mother her sinfulness. And she said, I know that I have fallen so far into the abyss. And she wanted to repent. And she heard the voice of the Mother of God saying, cross the Jordan and you will find rest. Imagine, in an instant, how many times people say, well, let me see, I got to think things through, I have to take care of things at home, I have to see what's going on with my bank accounts, I have to, so on and so forth. She didn't even flinch. In the state of repentance, she attended the Divine Liturgy at the Church of St. John the Baptist by the banks of the Jordan. And she participated in the Holy Eucharist because she was, at that point, in the state of repentance. And she crossed the River Jordan. She bought a few morsels of bread, and she had that. And she spent many, many years in the desert. And God then provided that St. Zosimas would go and give her the Holy Communion, and that St. Zosimas would bury her. marvelous life. The Sunday after St. Gregory Palamas, we had the worship of the cross, bringing us again to our central theme of how we have to pick up our cross and how we gain strength from the cross of Christ. And now by picking up our own cross, we are able to understand the cross of Christ and worship it properly, appropriately, understanding that only by means of the cross can we reach the resurrection. And our Lord called her, by means of these sinful impulses, but he called her to come to worship his holy cross. And from that point on, she was to pick up her cross and to follow Christ in such unbelievable struggles in the desert. The burning heat, the scorching of the sun, and the frigid, freezing temperatures at night. She was naked. She didn't have clothing. And she was alone. Sometimes it's so difficult for us to pass through a few hours without saying a word to somebody else. But she spent many years alone. Alone with the alone. It was her and our Lord. Sometimes great tribulations, great struggles came upon her, and she would fall down to the earth. And finally, in the state of her desperation, calling upon the Holy Mother, she would receive consolation. She would experience light. She didn't specify her sins, as we said. And monastics, of course, are taught to be very cautious and careful about their own sins. And we have to be careful about what we say to one another. And we hear over and over in the sayings of the Holy Fathers how we are not to talk about other people's sins, we are to cover sins. The only exception is, of course, if people persist demanding their rights or distorting the teachings of the Holy Orthodox Church, then there is a problem, even as the Holy Apostle Paul says, send such a one to the devil, because there is no sign of repentance. Not acknowledging sin as sin is very problematic. It gives birth to heresy, as St. John Chrysostom says, favlos vios ponera dogmata ticti, which means a depraved life gives birth to evil doctrines. One thing is sure, particularly during this blessed period of Great Lent, we have to come to hate sin. We have to pray that God will give us the ability to hate sin. And we have to understand that if anyone has fallen, they can get up, and that they can receive greater illumination, inasmuch as they have turned away from sin, and as much as they have trampled upon the head of the serpent and the scorpion. And the power of the enemy will not hurt us, so long as we acknowledge our sinfulness and turn away, and we will certainly find illumination. Let us not underestimate then the importance of these things. Last week we celebrated the memory of St. John of the Ladder. And he talks about the prison. You remember the prison? He says, I consider those people more blessed than those who have not fallen and yet do not repent. Those people who had fallen were broken in heart, and they came to know themselves and they came to know God, and they were in good surroundings. Oftentimes we've said, as the Holy Fathers tell us, the Holy Fathers teach us, that we become so affected by our surroundings. And St. John of Kronstadt specifically says, passions can be contagious, and virtue and faith can also be contagious. This is why oftentimes when people visit holy places and visit the monasteries, they can leave as different people. We hear this all the time. Faith can move mountains. Faith can change us. We have the example now this week of this blessed person, this great saint, St. Mary of Egypt. Obviously not by coincidence, but providentially, the Holy Fathers have established this week we celebrate St. Mary of Egypt. Here is a prime example, a great example of someone who picked up her cross to follow Christ. Our Lord was crucified on the cross. He nailed our sins to the cross. And the mystery of the cross, as we said, is the mystery of love. Because our Lord is the Lord. He is God. He can do whatever he wants. But he chose this way in order to redeem mankind, in order to give us life. And as St. John the Latter says, the blood of the Master being shed for mankind and the blood of the servant is quite different in dignity. We cannot even imagine how the Creator of all things, God before the ages, humbled himself. We can't really understand the degree of this humiliation, because he was crucified by his own creation. He was spat upon. He was mocked. And finally, he humbled himself even unto death, the death of the cross, the most humiliating manner of death. But in order for us to be exalted, and in order for us to receive the grace of the Holy Resurrection, we must also, my beloved, pick up our cross. We have now the example of one who truly repented. Let us repent. It's never too late. This whole period of Great Lent is the period of repentance. But if we see that we have been distracted, if we have turned away from our purpose, let us turn back. Even as St. Mary of Egypt looked upon the icon of the Most Pure Mother, let us also look upon the icon of the Most Pure Mother. For us monastics, she is the Lady in our lives. And let us ask her to help us, even as she helped St. Mary of Egypt, in this process of purification, of turning away from sin, of reaping the gifts of the Holy Spirit, of participating in the energies of God, in receiving this great illumination by means of the purification, which is so necessary for us to reach theosis, the final goal of deification. Let us beseech the Most Holy Mother, Lady Theotokos, and the Virgin Mary, and St. Mary of Egypt, to grant us to reach our goal, that we will be able to come to the Holy Week of the Passion, truly experiencing and understanding what our Savior did for us when he was nailed to the cross, and only by these means will we be able to reach our ultimate goal, the goal of the resurrection, glorifying Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not only in this life, but in the age to come. Amen.